On this week's episode of What the Puck, the Caps go 0-2 up against the Pens. Kuznetsov finally makes his way to D.C., and George McPhee halocks up the goal. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Just trying not to get blown away by the wind. How
are
you doing?
Doing good. Let's hope that all of our internet, everything's working. Hopefully Xfinity doesn't crap out like it normally does. So let's talk fast. Let's talk about these Capitals. First question to Coach Dan. What the hell?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty excellent question that I'm sort of asking the Capitals as well right now. Because so let's see, since we last talked, they went 1-4 with they got lucky almost in that win over Phoenix, and then they had four losses to Philly, Boston, and back to back losses to Pittsburgh. And the game against Philly, not even this game, that was a previous Philly game. And in the next Philly game, they just didn't look as interested. And the Boston game, they just got dismantled and embarrassed. And then that, the first one against Pittsburgh, they looked like they had opportunities to win that game and just could not put the puck in the net. And then the second game, they just looked uninterested for the most part. They had a couple moments, a couple spurts of interest in that game, but otherwise they just looked like complete crap. And this team does not look like a team that is interested in making the playoffs. They've got 15 games left. They are 3 points out of the playoffs, whether it's a wild card spot or as one of the top three teams in the Metropolitan Division. I'm still not used to saying that name. And this team is just – they look completely uninterested. The roster is an issue. The defensively, they are a freaking nightmare. I know earlier in the season we were talking about how secondary scoring was their biggest problem, and it is still to some extent, but it's gotten better. Brower's woken up. Like is woken up when he's not, injured. And, now you got some other guys that are stepping in. Johansson's trying. Backstrom's shooting a lot more. I don't know if you noticed that, but it seems like, especially on the power play, he's taking a lot more shots instead of just looking for passes. I wonder if Oates has told him to stop passing as much on the power play and just try and put a shot on net, maybe look for a rebound, or the opportunity to just put one on the back of the net. But other than that, this team just looks – defensively, they're a freaking nightmare. I think the goaltending's been fine for the most part. But they're just getting beat. There's so many times where you see Mike Green making a stupid play or Connor Carrick just looking in way over his head. Just anything like that where these guys just look completely lost. They've got I think it was Adam Vingan who put it out on Twitter saying that 95 points is the magic number for this season. If you can get 95 points, you're going to make the playoffs. So the Caps are currently at 70. They have the opportunity to get 30 points. That's if they go 15-0. They get 30 points. So if they need to get 25 of those 30 points if they really want to make the playoffs – that's going to be tough.
It's going to be really tough. And I put this out there on Twitter after that first Penguins game and after that loss happened. And I said, you know what? Let's see what happens tomorrow. These guys, they looked like it at least looked like a somewhat competitive game. It looked like they wanted to win. It looked like their heads were in the game, that they were trying their best to beat the Penguins. Let's see what happens tomorrow. And if we see kind of a similar type of deal tomorrow up against the Penguins, this is it. This is not their. There's not going to be a postseason. This is all we're going to have this year for hockey, that these guys will not make the postseason. And then we see what happens in the second Penguins game, and they look terrible. I thought these guys were rivals, and the Penguins, they really showed that they are a much better team than the Capitals right now. And it sucks to say that, but from – I have not been a lifelong Caps fan. I'm okay admitting that. I've always liked hockey, but when Ovechkin came to town is when that really piqued my interest in the Capitals, and I've loved watching them ever since. This is the worst I've seen this team perform. This is the worst team I've seen assembled since becoming a huge fan. Yeah, I was let down in 2010 when they went on this killing spree in the regular season. Then they got out in the first the quarter round the quarterfinals. and Halak, you know, shut everybody down. And I was so disappointed because I thought that was the Caps' year. But this year, I there's no doubt in my mind this is not their year. They're not going to make the postseason. They're not playing like they even want to. This team is being put together. Yeah, there's a lot of injuries out there. A lot of people can't stay healthy, so it's hard to get that groove on. Oates keeps switching up the lines, which I understand why he's doing it. He wants to find some of that magic, some of that chemistry there in between lines.
The problem
lines.
Is he keeps changing them.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, you know, you're right.
Them, there's no chemistry. No one's going to develop anything because they're not going to know where each other's going. I mean, I understand these guys are professional hockey players and they all understand how to play the game. And for the most part, with the exception of maybe Penner or the super prospect we're going to talk about in a few moments, you know, most of these guys understand the system, or they damn well should understand the system. So to see anybody out there that is – you can't just throw these guys together though. The problem is that they still need to know where each other are going to be. When you play together long enough, you eventually understand – without even looking or without even having to talk about it, what someone else on your line is thinking. I've never played professional ice hockey, but I've played sports at some point in my life. And I understand that if the more I play with someone, the more I understand what their tendencies are, what they're looking for, what they are going to expect me to do and what I'm going to expect them to do and that sort of thing. So when you have guys that play together for a long time, like Ovechkin and Backstrom, they play a lot better together. So when you start just throwing lineups out there and different changes, just sort of on a whim to see what's going to work, you know, it's not necessarily going to be the answer. Yes, you may score a goal, but it doesn't necessarily mean that things are going to get better because I don't think it works that way. I think you're going to have problems because you develop no chemistry and now everybody's sort of a step behind while the other team is still playing incredibly well, especially when you're playing a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ovechkin and Backstrom, they perform better together. If you remember in the lockout, Ovechkin was playing for Dynamo, and he brought Backstrom in, and Backstrom started playing with Dynamo with Ovechkin. The two of them enjoy working together. They work well together, so having them together makes sense. Switching up the lines, I understand he's trying to find that combination, but again, you can't just, you know, you can't, as much as I love Jay Beagle, I think I'm a big fan of his, but having him on the same line as Ovechkin makes no sense.
What the hell was that?
That makes no sense at all. Ovechkin, what's that?
Were you texting me during the game when they switched Beagle? It was you or a friend of mine. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was me. I had just left a restaurant that was showing it, and I was listening to the game on the way home, and I heard Walton say Ovechkin and Beagle on the same line. Doesn't make any sense. Ovechkin's a goal scorer. Jay Beagle's a grinder. Those guys, yeah, they're both on offense, but they play two very different roles.
See, I thought it was just like that. At first, I thought, oh, well, one of them's just double shifting or something. But then it happened again, and I was just like, okay, now you're just sort of like you're literally just throwing things at a dartboard and hoping for the best because it doesn't make any sense. Now, I know Grabowski's out, and this team is having some troubles in terms of getting that second line center. Put Johansson at that spot. Put Ovechkin with Johansson, Backstrom with, you know, somebody else. But if you're going to start throwing, if you're with Jay Beagle, I like Beagle just like you do. I think he's a great fourth line player for this team. He can fill in on the third line for a couple of games if you need him to. But he's a defensive-minded guy. The guy doesn't score goals. He's not good at it in the NHL. No offense, I mean, he's certainly a very talented hockey player. But he's not a very talented offensive hockey player. He's a defensive-minded guy. So putting your one of your top – well, what should be one of your top defensive guys with your number one offensive guy makes no freaking sense to me whatsoever because he's not going to help each other out. Beagle is not going to be able to keep up with Ovechkin just in speed alone, let alone offensively.
No, absolutely not. That doesn't make any sense. Look at the defense here. I don't think we've ever had the defense that Coach Oates or Kalle Johansson has ever wanted on this ice at all this year. Somebody's always been hurt. Right now, we've got John Erskine out, which I think a lot of fans are really happy about. But even with John Erskine out, the defense has not improved in any way since he's been out. Connor Carrick, like you said, is out there. He looks lost. I think this is a wrestling term, so anyone who's a wrestling fan is going to like that I said this, but he's way too green. Green's when you don't have enough experience to be where you're at yet. So he looked very green out there on the ice. Yeah, he's a great hockey player. He will be great for this team one day. Not now, not this season. He still needs to gain more of that experience. Jack Hillen missed most of the year. He's back now. He's done pretty well since being back, but he still has not, you know, he's not the answer to the problems of the defense, and Mike Green has just looked either lost or had his mind in other places. Doesn't look like he really is ready to play here. And when Mike Green's healthy, that's when he's supposed to be a huge help to the team, and he just hasn't this year. He's not been the best defenseman out there on the ice this year. So it's really sad to see the defense the way it is. Offense, yes, they score goals. I think you even brought it up during the Super Bowl when we were talking about who we were picking, and you said offense wins games, but defense wins championships. This team doesn't have either of those things because they can't win games, and they don't have the defense to help them get far into the Stanley Cup playoffs. So this team is just a jumble of guys that are good, but don't have – I'm kind of blaming the coaching staff. They don't have the leadership they should out there. They don't know – at this point, if you're still jumbling up lines in the season and you got guys like Jay Beagle and Ovechkin playing together, you're missing the point and you're not doing your job as a coach.
You made an interesting point a few moments ago saying that the defense has not ever been what Oates and Johansson wanted. And I would almost go so far to say that the defense has never been what they wanted from the very beginning of the season. If anyone's to be blamed for the defense this season, I'm blaming George McPhee. Now, I've been asking for a trade to bring in a defenseman at the deadline, and it was brought to my attention on Twitter that if you go and you look at all the guys that were moved that were defensemen, none of those guys really would have improved the Caps defense that wouldn't have sort of hampered them in the future cap-wise. And what they may have given up. Yeah, you could go out and make a move and bring in Andy McDonald like the Flyers did, or Andre Mazaros like Boston did. And that may help your team now, but if these guys have contracts going into the future, is it going to help you, into the future? Or can you wait until the offseason to make these kind of moves? I mean, if you look at the moves that McPhee made, and we'll talk about one of those in a few moments, these are moves that were also made sort of for the future. And that they're freeing up cap space because what's sounding like is that the cap is not going to be as high as they thought it was. I think they were saying it was going to be something like, $71 million, and now it may actually be at like $68 or something like that. So teams may not have as much room to play with. But my point is, McPhee didn't make the moves last summer to get the defensemen necessary for this team to be able to compete for a Stanley Cup. Going into this season, you had Connor Carrick starting in the NHL. Guy had never played a game in the AHL. It was a mistake on their part. He got a great camp. There was no question about that. He had a very good preseason. So they gave him a couple of games. No argument there. That's fine. But to bring this kid up now and seeing him every night being in way over his head is a huge problem, and they have no one to replace him with that is any more experienced. I mean, you can go and have Hillen and Erskine together when they're healthy, and that's my guess, is that you're going to have Erskine and Hillen together when Erskine is healthy. But it's not going to help in the end. I don't think that's a good third pairing because Erskine has had a horrible season. Hillens is one bad look away from getting injured again. And then Carrick's right back where we start, right back in the lineup. So this defense is a nightmare. Green is looking worse as the season goes on, not better defensively, which is a nightmare. And he's not contributing as much offensively as you would expect. And I think you and I are going to have a conversation this summer about whether Green should still be on this team or is he going to be traded. And Orlov, he's looked okay at times, but I think defensively he's getting worse. He's still doing better, but I still think he's getting too many minutes tonight playing on that second pairing. But you could see offensively Orlov is getting a lot more comfortable, especially in those two games versus Pittsburgh. When he would get the puck on the point, he had no problem whatsoever in trying to make a move to go around a guy to get a better angle for a shot on goal. So I certainly like what I'm seeing from Orlov offensively. But again, if he's an offensive guy, I want a defensive partner for him, someone that's going to cover for him when he jumps into the rush and makes a mistake by thinking he can jump into the play and missing the puck or something. Because he's a young kid and he's going to make mistakes, and you need a veteran defenseman to be paired with him.
Yeah, you do. I agree with everything you've said right here. So the Capitals, they've definitely got some work. They've got some work ahead and forward. Let's see what happens for the rest of the season. Only 15 games left of this season. Whether or not they make the postseason remains to be seen. But as of this week, as of right now, from what I've seen, it looks like 15 games is all we're going to have left of this hockey year. So come July, when that developmental camp game comes out, people might be really hungry for some games. So we'll see what happens down the road, but as of these past games, we've seen some good stuff. We've seen some stuff in Phoenix the last couple minutes of that game where they were able to come back and win up against the Coyotes, 3-2. That was a great game. Halak has looked all right in the cage for his debut. Let's talk a little bit about these trades here, but we'll see what happens down the road with these next couple games in the next couple weeks. Let's talk about these trades though. We talked last week a little bit. We knew Dustin Jason Penner was coming in. We did not know what was going to happen with the goaltending last week when we did the show, but our buddy Nuvi has been shipped out to Buffalo, and Halak has been brought in. Halak, who everybody hated back in 2010 because he shut down the Capitals.
So he's a jerk.
I guess it's better to have your enemies close. You know, have your friends close, have your enemies closer. Halak being a part of the Capitals, I definitely think that that does strengthen up the goaltending. Nuvi, I wish him all the best in Buffalo. But this is something very interesting. Let's talk about the Halak thing before we talk about anybody else coming in, because we know everybody knows who we're going to talk about in a little bit. But Halak, let's talk about this. He was on Elliott in the morning after the trade the next day, and I found this very interesting that GMGM said this about the Halak trade, and I got to agree with him, and I think it was the right move on GMGM's part. He said this, bringing Halak in and moving Nuvi out, had more to do with Nuvi wanting to leave than not having faith in Holtby. And I did not see that way when he first did it. I was like, look, he's bringing in Halak. This guy's got so much experience. It's obvious he wants to fight Holtby and Halak, see who's going to get that number one spot. It's obvious they don't believe in Holtby. But after he said that, I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense, because Nuvi has been very vocal about not wanting to be a number two guy. He's been jumbled around with Holtby, with Varley, with Vokoun. So, of course, Nuvi wants that chance to be the number one guy somewhere. And he did ask for a trade earlier this season. So, of course, that made a lot of sense. Him saying that, and I'm like, okay, I hear what you're saying. It's not about Holtby being good or bad. It's about Nuvi wanting to leave and go someplace else and try someplace else. So, bringing Halak in, I think Halak is a great addition to the goal, and I think from what I've seen from him so far, it still seems like he needs some support from the defense, but I've been liking what I've seen so far from him. Holtby's got to know he can't take this to heart, that this was just kind of a business move to move Nuvi out, and I think it's good that Holtby's got that competition, because Holtby seems like the guy that likes to prove himself, and after the season he's had, he's definitely got a lot to prove. But Halak, to me, is a great addition to this team, and I think I believe McPhee when he says it. It had more to do with Nuvi wanting to move than not having faith in Holtby.
I would agree with that. I mean, I don't discredit McPhee for making the move, I guess, is the way to put it. I just don't understand the move in general. I get the reason to wanting to move out Norvith, because he wants to go. He wants to be a number one. You don't want to keep a guy around if he's going to be pissy. I'm okay with that. Whatever, fine. My issue there becomes why you move out one of your top trading chips for another goalie that's out of a contract at the end of the season. I don't understand the point in doing that. If anything, look, Neuvirth's an adult. Well, I mean, technically. He kind of looks like a 12-year-old boy, but that's besides the point. But I understand the reason to keep him and then trade him in the offseason and be able to bring in a defenseman. Or if you're going to deal him at the deadline, you don't deal him for a rental when your team has so many more needs. A rental goalie when your team has so many more needs. When you need some secondary scoring, you potentially have that now. And you need a defenseman. And you need a defenseman badly. Why are you not going? I mean, Vancouver looked like they were on a fire sale. And they were like, hey, who do you want? Everybody can have whatever they want. Why are you not going out there trying to get a defenseman from them? Give them Neuvirth. They traded Luongo. So they're going with some younger goalies. You know, they got Markstrom in the Luongo deal. So maybe they're not interested in bringing another young goalie. That's a possibility. But why not go out and try and get Alexander Edler or Kevin Bieksa? I mean, I don't know if Bieksa is necessarily going to be the answer there. But Edler would have been a fantastic freaking pickup. I was so hoping for that to happen. And I guess it's still technically a possibility in the offseason. You never know. But you know, why would you move one of your top trading chips, that's first name isn't Yevgeny, to go out and get a rental goalie? Okay, they got that third round pick in the 2015 draft, which is supposed to be a very good draft. You'll note if you go back and look at all the trades, and we'll talk about some of them later, a lot of the draft picks that teams picked up were in the 2015 draft, because apparently this upcoming summer's draft is not that strong, but the 2015 draft is like ridiculously deep. Huh. So that apparently is going to be a great draft for everybody. So getting that third round pick in 2015 was good. Giving up Neuvirth, I don't understand. Kolesla, fine, whatever. He's not even playing for Buffalo. He said, and I quote, "With all due respect to the Sabres organization, I decided this week not to continue playing hockey this season. It has been a tough year for injury and moving several times to new teams." So, okay, fine, whatever with Kolesla. I thought he was going to be a guy they'd hang on to, but then he left anyways, and who knows if he would have ended up playing for the Capitals or if he would have done the same thing in the end. Although it's got to be tough to get traded one day and then get traded again the next.
Yeah.
I mean, was he even on his way to – I mean, I guess he was on his way to Hershey and then he got dealt again, but whatever. But to make that kind of thing where you're going to move out Neuwirth, I understand that, but I don't understand why you'd move him out for Halak. I get that the tandem of Holpe and Halak is arguably better than the tandem of Holpe and Neuwirth, but I just – those could have been two separate trades. It made no sense in the end to me.
No, you're making a lot of good points. I like having Halak as a capital. I think he's a good goalie and he's a good addition. Whether or not he's going to make the goaltending, 10 times better than it was with Holpe and Nuvi.
Yeah, but it's irrelevant because their goaltending wasn't their problem.
Right. Exactly. I'm saying like Halak, he's got more skill. He's got more experience than Nuvi. But at the same time, it's only marginally, you know, it's only like, you know, yeah, he makes our team better. Like by, you know, 15%, you know, about that. But well, you brought up a very good point at the end of the season. Who's to say he's going to stick around? Because you do have a guy like Grubauer who apparently has made a big impression on Oates. So you got to think that Grubauer is making the he might be making the jump up to the Capitals maybe next season. So even though I understand, like a GM said, moving Nuvi out because he wanted to leave and getting a goalie like Halak, it was one of his things he wanted. But you bring up very good points that he's a guy that's got a lot of skill. Why would you move him out when he's got some value for a guy who's not going to be here very long? Because Halak could be on the way out, and they're probably thinking, like, we just want to make the playoffs. Again, it's like desperation moves almost at this point if you're thinking about it, because you're like, let's get Halak in here so we can make the playoffs, and then once he's gone, we'll just bring up Grubauer next year or something like that. So very, very, you bring up some very good points about this trade, and maybe it's not as good as I originally thought. But
no, I mean, it wasn't a – how do I put this? It wasn't a bad trade. I just wish it was two different trades.
Right. It's a good trade because
– it improves the team
right.
overall, but that glaring problem you have is still not fixed.
Yeah.
Like, it's like say you broke your leg, so you go in to get your hand fixed. Like, okay, your hand – maybe you get like a robotic hand or something. You know, like your robotic hand's probably cool, but your leg is still jacked up. Like, you need to go and fix the problem you have. It was the defense. I guess teams weren't looking to move as many defensemen, but I question how much effort McPhee put into doing that. I would honestly – like, I understand that he improved the goaltending, but it wasn't the issue. So right. to go out and improve something that wasn't the issue makes no sense to me. I don't understand – like, they went out and they got Penner, and that was a great trade. Like, that was good. He moved out Erat, and who – I actually thought it was funny that Erat in, like, what, two or three games scored a goal for Phoenix and only took him like 50-something for the Caps. Of course, he's injured now. But, like, he moved out Erat, which was great, and actually got something good in return. And I think being Chris Brown actually may have been – not that one – may have actually been a really good return for the team in the end, because that kid – apparently they really like him. He may end up being a pretty good hockey player for this team. But they should have been two different trades. Like, if you want to go in and get a goalie, if you move out Neuwirth. Like, you move out Neuwirth, you get a defenseman, then you go and you trade something else for a Halak or for whoever. I mean, goalies were getting moved left and right at the deadline. You could have gotten somebody to be a viable backup to Holpe. You didn't have to go out and get Halak. You could have gone out and got a good backup.
Yeah.
You could have gone out and got Tim Thomas. Apparently he was available and got moved.
Yeah, yeah, you bring up some very good
points. And that would have been hilarious.
To bring the guy who doesn't like the president to D.C., that would have been
funny. Come on, it would have been funny.
That would have been very funny. so that's the trades here, but let's talk about now. Let's move over to a guy who we've been watching. We've been waiting. We've been waiting for this guy to show up.
Finally!
Yevgeny Kuznetsov has donned a Capitals jersey. He has shown up. He is here, and he's already played two games for a guy who everybody was waiting for him to come over. Again, George McPhee's been very candid the last week or so. He actually made me laugh out loud when he did
like a kid in a candy store. He's so happy.
He really is, but he was so funny with the press because they're like, "How does it feel to have Kuznetsov here?" And he was like, "I didn't believe it was actually going to happen." He was like, "When he walked into my office and I saw him actually standing there, it was like seeing Sasquatch." He's like, "I couldn't believe what I was seeing." He's actually here. So, so they apparently worked out everything with the KHL. He was Kuznetsov was able to get out of his tractor deal. He made the long flight over. I got to tell you, I was there on Saturday at the Coyotes game, and that place was buzzing like crazy because Kuznetsov was watching the game. He signed his contract. They gave him his own video package in between periods to tell people this guy's going to be here. They put out the press release that he was going to be skating Sunday, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on Saturday. I came so close to driving down from Baltimore to actually see him skate at 8 a.m., but I was tired.
I live a lot closer than you, and I was not interested.
But let me just tell you, after the news broke that this guy was on his way, because it broke like Saturday afternoon that he was on his way to the U.S. that day, I was watching. You can actually, you can customize jerseys at the arena at Verizon Center right outside the team store.
I have a funny story about that real quick. A friend of mine had it done years ago. He got a Matt Bradley jersey.
Yeah.
But the guys actually messed it up so that I can't remember specifically, but the letters were touching at one point. I can't remember which ones, but it was really funny because we had to sit around and it might have been a medium or a small jersey, and they actually did. They had to replace it, but they didn't have another one they could find. So they had to run around the arena trying to find a jersey to replace this with. But yeah, it's actually pretty cool. I have on my Ovechkin jersey, I actually have the A was attached at the arena for free. It was actually pretty cool. They did it for free, but they gave me the wrong color combination. So it's the letters you see on the back. Right. Of the jersey, not the ones you would see on the A or the C on the front of the jersey. But I don't care. It's still pretty cool to have.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue with your story.
No, what I wanted to say was, the place was buzzing. They have the place where you can make customized, personalized jerseys. Somebody made a Kuznetsov jersey that night knowing that he was signing. So I tried to get a picture peering over this guy's shoulder about making a Kuznetsov jersey because I was like, oh my, the place was, everybody was buzzing about this guy coming over. Now he's actually here. He's playing with Ovechkin. They're living together. They're playing Xbox. They're playing pool together. So you can see Carl Alsner was kind of playing with him on the bench. These guys are definitely welcoming in. He's played against the Penguins, against one of the biggest rivals for the Capitals. I like the fact that Adam Oates originally put him on the fourth line to ease him in. To have a guy that you've been waiting 4 years for show up and then you just throw him onto the first or second line, I think would have been way too much for this guy to handle. So I like the fact they brought him in, put him on the fourth. They gave him some power, some power play minutes. I believe the second game against the Penguins, they had him teamed up with Ward and Backstrom. So he's getting in there. He's getting in there. Give this guy some time. But so far what I've seen from him, he seems like he's a good hockey player. He seems like, I don't know if he was worth the wait of 4 years, but the Capitals definitely have plans for him. That everybody's happy to have him here. But I've been pretty satisfied with what I've seen so far. For a guy who doesn't speak English very well, for a guy who's only been in the NHL for two games, he seems like he's starting to already find that groove.
He hasn't scored yet, so send him back. No, I'm just kidding. No, ever since they drafted this kid, I was like, this dude. Like when they drafted him, they're like, oh, everybody. This is the only reason his stock fell and he got drafted later in the first round was because no one was expecting him to actually come over to the NHL, or they thought it would take way too long. But this kid has got a ton of talent. He wants to be in the NHL. He seems like he's having a good time. I think he is one of those guys. It would have been great if he scored in one of his first two games. I think it's rough that his first two games are both against one of the best teams in the NHL right now. But he actually had a great opportunity to get a goal. The second game against the Penguins, I want to say it was on the power play. He had that opportunity almost where he was able to tuck it in, but he ended up hitting the post. But I think he's going to be a great player for this team. I agree with you. It made perfect sense to put him on the fourth line, having him there get used to the system, because I doubt he's used to the system just yet. But he's getting in there. I don't know if he's really made any hits lately, but he's getting into the mix. He's trying to make things happen. He's made some nice passes. He's taken a couple shots. So, let's give it time. Give it time before someone's going to be like, oh, this kid can't score. He sucks. This is going to be a top player for this team pretty soon. But, if he's not on the top six top six role by the end of this season, he's definitely going to be starting next season on either the first or second line, because this kid's got a ton of talent. And you could definitely see a future with him and Andrei Burakovsky and Riley Barber and a couple of these young guys that will be coming out playing for the Capitals in a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I do want to point it out there. If I said it incorrectly, I apologize. But John Walton did post out there that it's not Evgeny. I think it's on Twitter. So, I could even be saying this incorrectly, but it's more of a Y sound. So it's Yevgeny. Kuznetsov.
Yevgeny?
Yevgeny is what I understand.
His name, they call it, was his Twitter handle is Kuzia.
Just call him Kuzi.
I mean, someone, oh, I can't remember where I saw it, but someone had a beer. Actually, it might have been Caps Hill. They were doing a bunch of emails that I'm involved in. They were something with they actually had a koozie with his face on it. It was pretty funny. I can't remember which one of them did it. Damn it. But yeah, it was. It's. I mean, those guys are a capsule. They're very goofy but funny. That's a great website to check out. Plug. But yeah, the guy. He's a great player for. He's going to be a great player for this team. The interesting thing though about him is that he only signed a 2-year entry level deal. Most guys sign a 3-year entry level deal. His 2-year deal starts right now. So after next season, he's going to be a restricted free agent. So they're not going to have the usual 3 years to see someone before they decide if they're going to sign him to a big deal or not. So things will get interesting towards what? The middle, maybe end of next season, where, you know, we'll see how much money is he going to be asking for, because he, you know, obviously he could have made a ton more in the KHL. And he probably already was. You know, how much the team will be looking at paying him. If he, I think if he, you know, has a good finale to this season and a really hot start to the, you know, beginning of next season, you could see him signed, you know, by Christmas to like a 3-year, 4-year deal or something like that. But, you know, hopefully this kid can go out and start scoring some goals, and then they'll end up signing him to a new deal soon so that this whole 2-year deal thing won't be a problem for too long.
I mean, he did get close. I mean, I think it was Fleury who just kicked it away in midair. So he definitely got robbed on – he almost had his first goal up against the Penguins on Tuesday night. So hopefully he gets that first goal quick. But you know what? The fact that he's actually here, the fact that it happened in this season, just amazing that it happened. I mean, this guy – there's been every hurdle you can think of. I mean, staying over to the KHL, being told he would make the Olympics, not make the Olympics, getting hurt. I mean, it's a miracle this guy made it here, but I'm happy that Kuznetsov is finally here. Whole Caps world is happy about it. So let's just make sure this guy is actually worth the wait. And I hope that he's got a lot of pressure on him. I hope he handles it well. So anything else we got to go over in Caps world?
I don't know if you just saw the thing I retweeted from Russian Machine Never Breaks, but apparently the tonight the Caps have their casino night.
Right.
And Dmitry Orlov has apparently entered the raffle to meet Ovechkin and said that it is his dream. what a goof.
I mean, they did see the Hunger Games Catching Fire together. I mean, maybe he just wants another movie date with Ovechkin.
You never know. Maybe that's a possibility.
So anything else we gotta worry about for the Caps, or did we cover everything? It's been a pretty long segment so far.
Yeah, there's a lot of Caps talk, but you know, they've made some trades and they've got Kuznetsov and they suck. hey, when Jack Hillen's back.
Yeah. When they're busy, we're busy.
Back so. On the team, and I could not care less.
Caps Hillen.
I got nothing against Hillen. It's just he's not the answer to this team. Yeah, he's probably gonna be better for the team than Carrick is right now. But they just have so many other issues defensively that him coming back and them being like – I mean, did McPhee – I think he actually came out and said Hilling being back was like getting a new player. No, it's not, George. It's not.
No.
Get a damn defenseman. It may not – you know what? He may not even be able to get a damn defenseman in the offseason because he may not have a job.
That's
not true. He probably will.
You think? Oh, let's not open up that can. Let's save that for –
I'm just saying – we will. But I'm just saying, like, I was having an argument with a friend of mine and I know – not so much an argument as a conversation. We were talking about Angel. He's a Devils fan, so he's, you know, he's got Lou Lamoriello for so many years. He has no idea what a GM problem is, you know. But we were talking about the top 10 general managers in the NHL, and I brought up a list on Wikipedia of all the GMs of the teams right now, and I had McPhee in my top 10. With the moves he's made, I mean, he's made some great trades. He gets attacked for a lot of his dumb trades, and they are pretty damn dumb when they're dumb. But he has made some great moves. He's not a bad general manager. He's just not good enough, I think. Not yet. You know, he just, like, he was doing really well until he moved Forsberg out. And then it was just like everything sort of went downhill. So, you know, whatever. We'll talk about it in the offseason. But yeah. I do think that they could do a lot worse in terms of general managers than George McPhee. But they could also do a lot better.
Hey, he kind of goes with that Caps team right now, where they're not really that great. They're not terrible, but it's kind of just stuck in the middle. So, well, that's pretty much it for what's going on in Caps world. So we're going to head up 83. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, guys, you know what I'm going to talk about, what the puckers. Those of you out there that are just like me, that are Baltimore Oriole fans, you got to come out this weekend, this Sunday, March 16th. Join me as we check out Section 336. It is their year one live podcast show. That will be at Mother's Peninsula Grill at 969 Ritchie Highway, Arnold, Maryland. So come out, check it out. The show starts at 8 o'clock, so get there. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be special guests. There's going to be a live podcast, man. And it's all to celebrate their first year as a podcast. That's pretty cool, man. Podcasters helping out podcasters. So come check out Section 336 for their first live show to celebrate their one-year anniversary. That's Sunday, March 16th at Mother's Peninsula Grill in Arnold, Maryland. I'll see you there. And once the show is over and you've been checking Twitter like you have been, don't tell me anything about what's happening with The Walking Dead. I'm going to DVR it and then watch it after the show, because that's how big of a fan I am of podcasters, man. I'm going to miss The Walking Dead as it airs live, but I have a DVR, so everything's cool. All right, here we go. We're going up 83. We're talking Hershey Bears. We're talking Reading Royals. Big stuff coming out of those towns this past week. So, Coach Dan, what's going on up in Hershey?
Not a lot. Hershey went 1-1 since we last talked, with a win and a loss to Norfolk. They currently sit at fourth in the East Division with 67 points, five back of first place Norfolk, and are ninth in the Eastern Conference, 3 points out of a playoff spot. They're going to have to go on a winning streak if they want to secure a playoff spot. Now, I wonder, is that like anybody else we know? Reading, on the other hand, went 4-0 since we last talked, with wins over Wheeling, 2 over Evansville, and a win tonight over Elmira. They currently sit at first in the Atlantic with 76 points, 12 up on second place Wheeling, and are first in the Eastern Conference. So they are doing much better than both Washington Capitals and the Hershey Bears right now. So they are doing great. They got to keep going. But I saw a picture of those St. Patrick's Day jerseys. They are terrible. Stop it.
Let me just correct you here. St. Hat-trick night is when these jerseys will be worn.
Whatever.
Saturday, March 15th, if you are in the Reading area, the Royals will be wearing St. Hat-trick specialty jerseys, as well as giving away Royals green bandanas to the first 1,000 people 15 or older. So you got to love that minor league stuff, man. So if you want a St. Patrick's Day jersey and you got a couple $100 to spare, check them out. I actually think they may have gone on sale tonight online, so I might actually have to check that out and see if they actually did or not.
Nope.
Coach Dad's not a fan of the specialty jerseys.
Now, if they were good, I would be, but not for $500. Maybe I'll get like a specialty T-shirt jersey or something.
Let me see here. It says they go on sale tonight. What the hell? How do I get them? That's what I want. All right, never mind. I'll figure that out later when we're not recording. All right, so that's pretty much it for Up 83. Now it's time to go around the NHL. All right, Coach Dan, let's talk about what's going on around the NHL. Of course, the big story has got to be the one coming out of Dallas. Very scary sight happened earlier this week with Rich Peverly just kind of collapsing on the bench. It delayed the game. One of the scariest scenes I guess you could ever see in sports. So give us an update on that first and foremost, and tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, that was definitely a pretty scary scene in Dallas, as Rich Peverly collapsed on the bench. This was back on Monday, after going through a cardiac event. Now, I don't know what that entails exactly, aside from the heart, but that sounds scary as hell. He's actually going to miss the rest of the season. Now, he is scheduled to have surgery to remedy his heart issue called an atrial fibrillation. I don't know what that is. I'm not a doctor, but at this point, it doesn't matter what he is as a hockey player. Now it's just about him as a person getting better, because that is scary as hell. And, you know, I'm sure – I understand that after he woke up, that he wanted to know when he was going back out for his next shift. So the guy wanted to get back in the game, and that's certainly great to see. But, you know, he's definitely done for the season, and right now his career is irrelevant until he gets better. So, you know, if he ends up coming back and playing in the NHL, that's going to be a great story. Before we go to the rest of the NHL news, let's go back and review the trading deadline and all the craziness that was there. Now, there were some pretty big trades. But overall, I felt like it wasn't as exciting as it has been in the years past. I don't know how you felt about it necessarily, but I thought it was – there was some big stuff, but it wasn't as big as they have had not the last couple of years, but before that, things were pretty crazy where just everybody was going left and right. I think because there's a lot more parity in the NHL now and a lot more teams have a chance to make the playoffs that that less people are willing to make big moves. A lot of less people are sellers necessarily. But the biggest trade has to be the captain for captain deal with the Rangers sending Ryan Callahan a first-round pick in 2015 and a conditional second in 2014 to Tampa Bay for Martin St. Louis. That was a pretty big trade. Yeah. And I'm actually surprised that Tampa was able to get as much as they did, considering that St. Louis would only waive his trade no trade clause for the New York Rangers. He did not want to go anywhere else. So I was, the fact that they were able to get as much as they did is actually very impressive. I actually think the Rangers overspent by a hell of a lot to bring this guy in. Another big deal, Thomas Vanek was actually dealt for the second time this season, this time to Montreal, for Sebastian Kjellberg and a second in 2014. Montreal also got a conditional fifth in 2014 in that deal. Ottawa acquired forward Alex Hemsky from Edmonton. This guy sounded like he was going to get dealt at every trading deadline over the last like 5 years. Well, he finally got dealt at from Edmonton to Ottawa for a fifth in 2014 and a third in 2015. LA brought in Marion Gaborik. Of course they did, because I already dropped him from my fantasy team. They brought in Marion Gaborik from Columbus for forward Matt Fortin, a second in 2014 or 15. I'm not really sure how that works. And a conditional third-round pick. They didn't say on TSN's website what year that conditional third is in. So TSN, what's up there, guys? Keep up. Matt Molson, who I wanted the Caps to bring in before they brought in Dustin Penner. Matt Molson and Cody McCormick were sent from Buffalo to Minnesota for Torrey Mitchell, a second in 2014 and a second in 2016. A little weird that they would go 2 years into the future. Tim Thomas, your boy, Tim Thomas, he was sent from Florida to Dallas for goaltender Dan Ellis. So goalies were switching places. Oddly enough, Dallas' number one goalie, Kari Lehtinen, has been injured with a concussion, does not look to return anytime soon. Huh. So unless I'm mistaken, the number one goalie for the Dallas Stars right now is Tim Thomas. Mm. So that's kind of funny how that worked out there.
He looked pretty funny in his Florida Panthers pads.
I saw that too. He had the mask and the pads.
Yeah.
And the green. He looked ridiculous. He looked like a Christmas tree. Philly sent Andre Mazaros to Boston for a third in 2014. Detroit got David Legwan from Nashville for Patrick Eves, Kalle Järnkrok, I don't know if I said that right, and a third in 2014. And finally, Calgary sent Lee Stepniak to Pittsburgh for a third in 2014. Now, there were some more deals out there, and for more of that information, you should go to tsn.ca and check out their trade center under the NHL headline, because that is a great place to get all the trade news for the entire season and especially the trading deadline. Now going to general NHL news, Columbus forward Blake Como has been suspended for 2 games for boarding Detroit defenseman Brendan Smith. Now, he wasn't the only person being suspended. LA forward Jordan Nolan also had to sit out a game after punching Edmonton forward Jesse Joensuu. Why are you punching people? The hell is wrong with you? Stop it. And Vancouver forward Zach Cassian. I feel like I'm talking about Zach Cassian like every other week because he did something stupid. He was suspended for 3 games after boarding Dallas defenseman Brendan Dillon. Now we have some horrible news coming out of Calgary. Forward Matt Stajan lost his newborn son on March 3rd. That is rough. Stajan has taken a leave of absence from the team. And also some sad news out of the Ontario Hockey League as the body of Saginaw Spirit player Terry Trafford was found in a parking lot in Michigan. He was 20 years old. No word yet on exactly what has occurred or what occurred there. Now to go on a lighter note, congrats are in order to quite a few people. First, Vancouver forward Henrik Sedin, who played in his 1,000th NHL game. So congrats to him. Second, to former Detroit defenseman Nicholas Lidstrom, whose number 5 was retired by the Red Wings. That's pretty awesome. And other guys having their jersey number retired. We also have to congratulate Dallas forward Mike Madonna, whose number 9 was retired by the Dallas Stars. And finally, congrats to former Buffalo goalie Dominic Hasek, who is also a crazy person. But he's crazy in the sense that he wants to hurt people, not crazy in the sense that he's like talking about space like Breece Galloway. He will be inducted into the Sabres Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him there. And finally, Tampa has named Steven Stamkos their new captain, taking over for Martin St. Louis Lafroto. That is all of the NHL news from the past week.
NHL people, man, staying busy. Season's coming to an end. People are trading, doing what they had to do before the deadline. Now everybody's getting ready for those playoffs. So 15 games left for the Capitals in their regular season. So let's go over the games until Coach Dan and I are going to talk again next week. Friday, March 14th, the Canucks come to town. Welcome back, John Tortorella, to Verizon Center. Canucks versus Capitals. That game starts at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet Plus.
I don't mean to interrupt, but that's the game where everyone's talking. It's the two teams that are just like crashing and burning right now, where just somebody has to win.
Yeah, well, let's hope it's the Capitals, and not hopefully that trip from Vancouver is going to take a lot out of those guys, because it's a long flight, man, from Vancouver.
So. It's a nice city.
Oh, a beautiful city. Loved it there. Sunday, March 16th, the Maple Leafs come to town up against the Capitals. That's a 3 p.m. start, Comcast Sportsnet. So let's hope our boys don't party too much on Saturday night for St. Paddy's, since a 3 o'clock start. So everybody just stay home, do what you got to do at home, and you know, drink maybe a green beer, just one, you know, at home, and that's it. And maybe have, you know, something with potatoes or something in there, and that's all you have. All right, what else we got? Tuesday, March 18th, the Capitals, they start a road trip out in the West up against the Ducks. So if you guys are, you know, night owls like Coach Dan is, 10 o'clock start, Comcast Sportsnet. So late night hockey. It going all the way to the morning on the East Coast. So we'll see that going on. But that West Coast trip, it's going to be the Ducks, and then we'll do our show, and then the weekend after that is the Kings and the Sharks. So three big games, the Canucks, Maple Leafs, Ducks. Pretty much our shows from now until the end of this season are all going to end the same way, talking about these Capitals. You got to win every game. Every game's a playoff game right now. You need every single point you can get. You need to do it in regulation so no one else gets those freebie points. Hopefully with a team like the Canucks, who do have a far trip, it's a pretty long flight, a lot of, you know, time differences they got to get used to, plus the fact that they aren't doing well. Hopefully the Capitals are able to get 2 points out of at least that game. Maple Leafs should be another tough one to tackle. And then the Caps go visit Bruce Boudreau up in Anaheim up against the Ducks, who are doing pretty well for themselves. So three very important games. Coach Dan, anything you think these guys should really focus on in the next week?
Playing solid defense and winning. They have to win almost every game from here on out. So right now they didn't start when they came back from the Olympic break playing playoff hockey. So they got to start now, because if they don't, they're going to be out of it. I mean, they're going up against some tough teams the rest of the way, so they can't take any nights off like they've been trying to do, or take any periods off. You have to play the entire 60 minutes for the rest of the season, or, you know, they're going to be not in the playoffs, and that's going to suck, because that's going to be the first time in a long time, it feels like, that this team will not be playing in the playoffs. And that's rough. And then you're going into the offseason with so many more questions than you really should have. You got questions about the general manager, questions about the coach, questions about the players, more of the Canadian media bashing, and NBC media, I should say, bashing Ovechkin. So, I mean, this team needs to make a hell of a run, because once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. Probably not with this team, because their defense sucks. But, I mean, anything can really happen in the playoffs. So they got to go on a run, and it's got to start now.
The best thing is that none of these games are nationally televised, which is a very big thing, because apparently when it is a national televised game, these guys just don't want to play well in any way. So good thing they're all on Comcast Sportsnet. So, hey, if you want to talk Caps hockey with Coach Dan or I, you can talk to us both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
I love that little dramatic pause you got going right there.
I'm getting better at it.
That's like your calling card. Like, I'm like, how long is he going to go for it now? So,
one time the like internet's going to cut out, and you're going to be waiting and be like, wait, where did you go?
That's really what's going to be like. But hey, all right, so if everybody out there, check this out. BrandoCash.com is a real thing now. We do have a website for the network, BrandoCash.com, so go over there, check it out. But if you want to be social with the network as well, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, like us over there. You get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. Also, like the show on Facebook, Facebook.com. facebook.com/WTP podcast, 2 P's in that title, and follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. We give you this show completely for free. We do the show for free. We don't charge you to download it or stream it. So all you got to do, let people know about it, be social with the show, and tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit and anywhere you are social on the web. Let them know you're a Caps fan and that you listen to What the Puck, and they should too. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, CapsHill.com, WhatThePuckCaps.BrandoCash.com. So plenty of places, doesn't matter what kind of device you have. We are available all over the place, and you can take us wherever you want, because that's the best thing about being on a mobile app, is it goes wherever you go. It starts whenever you want. It's all about being on demand, available when you want it for free. That's the best kind of stuff we can talk about. So until next week, let's see what happens. 3 games, Caps. Kuznetsov could get his first goal. The offense could show up. The defense might play well. Who knows who's going to start in goal? Everything's kind of up in the air. But one thing that's not up in the air is our dedication to this team and how much we love this team and how much we love hockey. So until then, we're going to keep cheering. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.